And today we are going to be looking at the grace gift. So I'm just going to read scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you, Lee. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Got your Bibles? Starting at verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one as he determines. Father, thank you for your word. Pray that you would break it open for us this morning. God, that there would be something that would capture my heart, John's heart, Bob's heart, Kevin's heart, Dave's heart, Peter's heart, Tiffany's heart, Father, and everybody in between. Lord, that we'll walk away from here this morning and remember one thing from this sermon. From the preaching of your word, anoint it, bless it, in Jesus' name. And all his people said. That was some altar call before we even got to the word this morning. You know, nothing is impossible with God. He really and truly is the God of breakthrough. So, whatever you came forward for this morning, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Believe and do not doubt. And, you know, I can't answer the question, the why or the how or the when, you know, when God answers prayer or, you know, takes it. I don't know. He's God. But keep holding on to the promise. He hears your heart. He loves you more than anybody on this planet, more than I love you, more than your spouse loves you, your mother, father loves you, whatever. He loves you more, and he cares very deeply about you. So whatever you came forward for this morning, if you've been released, I celebrate with you. If you have yet to be released and see that miracle breakthrough, don't give up. Keep pressing in. So, as you know, we continue in the series. There's a fill-in-the-blank in your bulletin. If you're going to a Connect group, you can fill that in. And I'm starting right off the bat with the first fill-in, so just to get you on track right away. So, through the scripture we're going to be looking at this morning, there's a word that is not utilized in the English version, but in the Greek version, there is a word charismatic. And inside the word charismatic is charisma. It's a word that we borrowed whole from the Greeks. And the plural in the Greek is charismata. So if you've heard those words, it's Greek in origin. And when the Greeks used charisma in a sentence, they weren't referring to a person's charm or their personality. For them, charisma literally meant grace gift. Grace gift. In other words, it described a gift someone gave you because you had found undeserved favor in their eyes. Actually, when you think of it, all true gifts come by grace. If you earn what you receive in any way, it isn't really a gift then, is it? Instead, it would be a payment or a compensation. A gift is an act of grace. And so far through this series, we've seen that the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in our lives is huge. Yet his power only operates to the degree that we allow him to change us. We have to be yielded to him. Amen. He can change us, but he's never going to force that on us. We have to be yielded to him. Our stubborn, prideful selves have to do that S word, submit. We have to submit. We have to receive. And as we continue to look, as we continue our look at the Holy Spirit today, as we've been doing for the last few weeks, we're going to take a look at the truth that Jesus sent us a helper and a friend who comes to us bearing gifts. So as with the name Pentecostal, which Ken talked about in a couple of sermons back, the word charismatic carries a whole range of meanings to it. And in the wider culture, as I've already mentioned, the word charisma is used to describe people with a lot of personality and appeal. You know, some might say that, you know, some politicians, well, maybe not too many these days, but anyway, some may be called charismatic. You know, they're charming, they're fascinating, they're full of personality, they're strong in character, they're magnetic. And the same word, you know, charisma, somebody has charisma, the same definitions could be given there. But when we use the term in Christian circles, in our circles, charismatic carries a completely different set of meanings. Charismatics are those who believe God still miraculously heals people today, just as he did when the Bible was being written, and that it's acceptable for his people to ask him to do so. And I'm telling you, not every church believes that. That God still can break through in our earthly lives miraculously. And that we have the privilege of actually being able to pray that way, for asking for that breakthrough, for asking for that miracle to occur in our lives as we did this morning. So basically, anyone who recognizes an active role of the Holy Spirit in their lives, does anybody here recognize the Holy Spirit to be active in their lives? Put up your hand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well then, guess what? You're charismatic. You're charismatic. As I mentioned, the word charisma or charismata, the plural of charisma, appears numerous times in the New Testament in reference to the Holy Spirit's work in the life of a believer. And the word is used any time in the scriptures when you're reading about the gifts of the Spirit. Grace gifts. Charismata. The grace gifts. So here's a little definition for you of what charisma means. Charisma is the instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of any believer to exercise a gift for the edification of others. And I want you to notice what it says there. Any believer. This supernatural enablement, which we call spiritual gifts, isn't kept for just people that are in full-time ministry, like Ken and I, people who are in leadership roles, or for any super spiritual person. No. Even in the body of Christ, Many people are confused and ignorant about spiritual gifts. And I use that term, ignorant, I don't want to sound mean when I'm saying that, but it truly is. Many people operate without truly and accurately understanding what the Bible teaches about this extremely important issue. Are we on track there? Okay. So the problem of this misunderstanding, the lack of comprehension of how the Holy Spirit operates in the lives of believers isn't new. Because as you can see in verse 1 of chapter 12 here in 1 Corinthians, Paul begins by saying this. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. So even Paul is utilizing that terminology. He doesn't want them to be ignorant. So apparently it was a lot of confusion and ignorance about spiritual gifts that also existed 2,000 years ago. There's nothing new under the sun. And Paul actually uses that phrase, now concerning, six different times in 1 Corinthians. In spite of the fact that this book is entitled 1 Corinthians, it's not the first letter that Paul had written to the city of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 5 and 9, Paul mentions a letter that he'd written previously, and when they had received it, rather than giving them an understanding, enlightening their thinking, causing them to be aware and understand the things of the Spirit and walking in their faith walks, his previous letter had actually sparked a lot of controversy and misunderstanding. And it actually generated a lot of questions in the minds of the Corinthian believers. So they obviously wrote back to Paul and said, well, you know, I don't get this. And hence, here we have 1 Corinthians. This is his letter answering the questions that they had. He begins 1 Corinthians 7 and 1 saying this, now regarding the questions you asked in your letter. So they still had questions, and it's okay for us to have questions today too. In 1 Corinthians 7:25, Paul writes, now concerning virgins, 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1, now concerning things offered to idols, and this continues through the book of Corinthians. He was addressing things that they were not understanding. And as well as this confusion that they were facing, the church in Corinth wasn't a Jewish congregation. They were actually Gentile converts. And the city of Corinth itself was a wealthy, but it was a very immoral city. And Corinth is in modern-day Greece. And it intersected several different trading routes. And there were many temples to various Greek and Roman gods in that city back then. And they were scattered all throughout the city, including a massive temple to the goddess Aphrodite, which is said to have employed more than 1,000 ritual prostitutes. So the two idols in this city that Paul was writing to, their two idols were money and sex. But he's writing to these Gentile converts. These people were rising up and out of a depraved society. They needed some direction. They needed some correction. So with this background in mind, we're going to jump back to what Paul writes to these believers about spiritual gifts in the very first verse. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. So obviously these people in the church at Corinth had experienced some confusion about how the spiritual gifts were to operate and how they should be used within the church, especially during a public worship service like this. But I'm sure their worship services looked entirely different than ours do. But they needed direction. God is a God of order. Well, sometimes he's not. But they needed direction from Paul, how we are to behave, how we are to be utilized by the power of the Spirit in our services. So with these words, Paul begins a section of teaching, an explanation that runs for three chapters, chapter 12, 13, and 14. All engaged in the spiritual gifts, the working of the Spirit. So we're going to look at the first of these verses and break them down for a little bit more understanding here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6 says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one is the same God at work. So I want you to note the phrases that are being used here. The same Spirit, the same Lord, Jesus, the same God. And I love that in many, many different passages throughout the Scriptures, you see the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Spirit mentioned in reference, and I believe that's what's happening here too. So Paul's message is there are many different gifts and many different ministries and service within which those gifts can be expressed, but the same triune God is still behind all of them. Yes. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Yes. Look at the words used here in relation to the gifts, ministries, service, working. Paul is telling us that the gifts are used for the purpose of expressing the love and power of God in the lives of those we are in contact with. That is the purpose of the gifts. He uses us to express his love, his care, his compassion. And what kind of outcomes will this process produce? Paul tells us in the very next verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Why does the Holy Spirit give gifts to us? So those gifts can be released in ministries for the profit of all. For the profit of all. That means each one of us in this room today. He gives us gifts so that we can be a blessing to others. And these gifts are given to each one. This is very important for you to get in your spirit today. These gifts are given to each one, not some, not most, each one of us is the receiver of these spiritual gifts in various times, in various places, in various circumstances, if we're born again, and if we're willing to be used by God to bring about the profit of all for the common good. Each one of us. I need you to get your head wrapped around that today. Your heart wrapped around that today. Your spirit wrapped around that today. Each one of you. And all of this brings a couple of questions to the forefront. What kinds of gifts? What kinds of gifts? What do these gifts look like? Well, we see in verses 8 to 11, Paul describes them. He says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he heals. So we can categorize, actually, these nine different gifts into three separate groups. And we're going to be doing that and studying that in the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at each of these gifts, spiritual gifts, the charismata, the grace gifts, in the next few weeks. However, I want to try and explain something about the gifts today that isn't usually understood. Some people read this list and they'll make assumptions about God like this, that God will look at one person, they'll look at Kevin and say, Kevin, you now have the gift of healing. Emily, you now have the gift of interpretation of tongues. Pauline, you have the gift of miracles. That is not exactly the way the gifts operate. The assumption is that the Holy Spirit assigns one gift to people for the rest of their lives, and they own that gift forever. And that's not actually the case. That's not actually how the giving of these gifts work. The Holy Spirit owns all the gifts all the time. Okay? The Holy Spirit owns all of the gifts all of the time. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't just receive one gift once and for always. Through the years, I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit very quickly after I came to know Jesus. I think within a 4-month period. I didn't even know what was happening. And sometimes it takes longer. But through the years since then, he has deposited various gifts into my life for special moments in certain circumstances. I don't get to choose which gift I want at which time. That would be awesome. I would want all of them all of the time. I'm a little bit greedy that way. But that's not how it works. And the verse that we just looked at, he distributes, it says, he distributes to each one individually as he wills. And later in this letter to the Corinthians, Paul sums up what will happen when believers gather together, like we've gathered together today and every Sunday and whenever we gather together. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, it says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? Each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And the meaning here is that each person may come with all that Paul mentions, a song, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation, because of the phrase, each of you. And that is why I believe any Christian at any time might receive a word of knowledge. Any believer at any time might receive a gift of faith or a miracle or a healing. Like, for instance, today when we had people coming forward because they needed a miracle in their lives. And you were standing behind that row of people. You were laying hands on them. You know, believe that God can use you. Don't make it just, the pastor called me forward, so I'm going to lay my hands on, and, you know. Expect that God is going to use you. Maybe he did today. Maybe you laid hands on somebody and brought a healing. Maybe miracles did actually occur. Yes, believe it. Don't take that lightly. Get it in your heart. The Holy Spirit decides because the gifts belong to him, and he distributes them all through us individually for the benefit of all. When we are used in that way, when God uses us in the spiritual gifts and you lay hands on somebody and they receive a miracle, that's not for your benefit. That's for their benefit. I want you to go away from here today and begin to really seek that. I want you to really walk away from here today and begin to yield to the Holy Spirit operating in your lives. He's real. Amen. And he doesn't want, I almost said useless vessels, because that's not what I was intending to mean, being useless, but he doesn't want us to not be operating in the power that resides in us. I'll confess, I can go a couple of days, you know, interacting with people in the community and, you know, and just kind of, you just kind of forget the power that you have. When you encounter somebody in this wonderful city of ours, you could be the one that God wants to use to, you know, you could have somebody you'd begin chatting with in the line at Metro and, oh, you know, I've got a pain in my hip, you know, like, can I pray for you? Just believe and don't doubt.
I thought you were really going to pray.
Oh, yes, you need a healing in your leg. You heard, he was acting like a little boy this morning and pulled his quad. So, Father, we believe that you can heal this muscle, whatever it is that Ken has pulled in his leg today, Lord, that you would bring healing and restoration, that the inflammation would go, that if there's been a tear, that it would be healed up. And Father, when he walks out of this house today, Lord, he would be free from any pain or any injury. And Lord, we all agree together, don't we? Amen, for a healing in Jesus' name. Yeah. Begin operating in that. And you know what? This might be a weird thing to say, but practice, right? Practice makes perfect. If you don't begin to step out in faith, believing that the power of the Holy Spirit is operating in your life, how are you ever gonna see him doing that? You know, you may lay hands on 10 people and nothing happened. Well, that's okay. Call it practice. 11th time, boom. You know, we don't have the answer. We need to be the ones who are yielding, who are receptive, who are going to be obedient. And it's up to God what the outcome will be. Amen? So, over the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a look at the three broad categories of the spiritual gifts. And don't miss it. Because each one of them, each one of these gifts that I've mentioned are available to you. So we're going to explore the gifts in greater detail. And we're going to pray for umpteen baptisms in the Holy Spirit. Amen? God is good. All the time, you're right. Bob, you're right. So let's just pray for a minute. Is the team still here? Worship team?
I don't think
so. Melissa's gone. Laura's here. So let's just bow our heads. I'm going to pray. And I feel like we're not finished at the altar today. You know, it's a rainy day. You can't be outside. Where else are you going to do, you know, hang around? Let's come to the altar.